So I am here today with Mike Casey, who has learned the truth about God in the journey about learning who God is, having an only begotten son. You were working at Remnant Publications. You were recently released, and now you're working full time for Pioneer Health and Missions. Give us like a little update of your background and what brought you to the point of learning about God.
Well, it started in 2015. Mm-hmm. So right about the time I started at Remnant Publications is when I learned the truth. I don't know if it was right before or right after, it was just right at that time.
You said you learned the truth. The truth about what?
Well, the truth about God, and that is that He truly has a begotten Son, okay. Not created, but begotten Son, the Almighty God of the Bible, in opposition to the Trinity, okay. which is the common doctrine of the Seventh-day Adventist faith. Mm-hmm. So I learned this truth, and the way it took place was actually through my wife. She had introduced it to me, and at a church that we'd been going to at the time, they would meet midweek. They would go and they'd pick up bread from Panera, and they would sort through it midweek and prepare for the next day to give out to the poor and needy. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be more of a Bible study than anything else. They would talk and study and so on. And I'd work, so I wouldn't usually be able to go. And I guess this is where she had heard the message. One of our dear friends had introduced the message to her. And so she had this message, but it took her a few weeks, or 2 or 3 weeks, before she had the courage to present it to me. Okay. She didn't know how I would take.
And this was in 2015.
This was in 2015, yeah. And I'm very conservative. It's like, you know, it's the Bible, Ellen White, you know, and so she didn't know how I would take it. And so, you know, I could only, you know, I could understand what she was going through, because I don't know if I would have wanted to present it to me, you know, because I'm so leery of everything. So, yeah, okay. So she finally had that opportunity, and she says, here, you know, you got to watch this. I don't remember if it was a DVD or YouTube. She goes, yeah, you got to watch this. I go, well, what is it? And she goes, just watch it. You'll be fine. You know, just watch it. I go, all right, I'll watch it, you know. And so I about 10 minutes into this video, and I go, that's what I believe. Huh. That's what I believe.
Now, had you been studying this before?
No, it hadn't been what I... Now, I was raised an Adventist. Mm-hmm. But when I was raised an Adventist, this was a long time ago, and I don't remember learning the Trinity, you know, and I was class of 80, if that helps, and so I don't remember this. And I thought, well, maybe I just didn't pay attention in school. Mm-hmm. And I was out of the church for a while, and I realize now that might have been a blessing. I might have been protected. And so when this message came back in, and when I came back into the church and I saw this message, I'm going, I don't remember this. And it didn't make sense to me. And I thought, you know, it was peculiar. I prayed to God in the name of Jesus. I always looked at Jesus as the Son of God. It's what the Bible says. That was in my brain, you know. And I always looked at the Holy Spirit as Christ being with me, you know. And I just didn't get all this. And so when I saw this video and it explained what I believed inside, I go, that's what I believe. Yeah. And it just opened me up. It was just instant for me. And my wife's like, whew, you know, relief. Oh, you know, because she was already there. She was raised a Catholic. So she was familiar with the Trinity thing. And, you know, she's a great Adventist. I tell you, ex-Catholics make the best Adventist, okay. Or Seventh-day Adventist, because she just loves digging in and studying and Ellen White and the Word. And she keeps me on my toes. And I appreciate that.
So she was able to accept this message pretty quickly as well. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, she just jumped right in. Actually, when she came into the message, Ministry of Healing is what won her over. And it was the health message that brought us in. We actually were vegans before I came back into the church and we became Adventists. And she was intrigued with that message. And then she had read Ministry of Healing, and it just hit her. She goes, there's no way Ellen White could know this about health 150 years ago unless she was a prophet. It just won it over for her. And then one thing led to another.
Well, now you read chapter 35, which is page 409. Oh. Of the Ministry of Healing, A True Knowledge of God. Yes. And you have to come away from that realizing she was not a Trinitarian.
Well, you know, that had a lot to do with where I'm at right now. Okay. That was one of the things. That's what showed me is putting God first. The knowledge of God, or unknowledge of God, I think is the title of that chapter you're speaking of. Mm-hmm. And I read that, and I go, wow, you know, what's the point of the Bible if you're not worshiping the right God? Mm-hmm. You know, I go, this is an important thing. And I've heard people say since then, oh, it's not a salvation issue. Not a salvation issue. I think the God we worship is everything. Yes. It starts there. Amen. You know, and of course, there's a lot more to it. But, and so that's one of the things I read, because a lot of study, that's when I started jumping in, because that just opened up a whole new realm of things. Another thing that was big for me was the first chapter of Patriarchs and Prophets.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it just explained it. And I started going, reading through this. I'm going, no, where's the Holy Spirit being another God or, you know, in here? I'm not reading that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm seeing a father and his son talking about his son, praising his son, give worship to my son.
Yes.
You know, and I'm saying, there's a father. He has a son. He's begotten. I don't understand how that works, but that's what God says, yes. You know? And I go, then it got exciting. I go, wow, this is real. You know, and then you start to see the beauty of sending his son to earth and everything. It's beautiful when you dig into it. And so I just kept digging. I kept learning more, And then the sanctuary came up. And I started thinking, there's only two thrones,
yes,
two crowns, two stacks of showbread, the symbolism. How come God is always singular in the Bible? All these questions start coming up. And then the history, you know, I like to know the history. How did the Bible get to me? Why do we keep the Sabbath? You know, I like to dig in. And so I'm going, well, how did the Trinity come into the church to start with? Where did it come from? You know, and, you know, you go all the way back to Constantine. Okay, here's how it started and everything else. And then I learned about the pioneers. The pioneers were non-Trinitarians. This means Ellen White was a non-Trinitarian. They were pretty much all non-Trinitarians. Mm-hmm. God brought together non-Trinitarians to form this Reformation.
Some of my friends, when people state what you just said, they were almost all Trinitarians or non-Trinitarians.
Yes.
Some of my friends will say, well, show me who the one was that was a Trinitarian. And I haven't had any of that evidence shown, so I think they were all non-Trinitarian.
Ellen White was a Trinitarian at first.
Oh, yes, of course. After the invitation of God to start the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. But you know, that is a good point, though. Ellen White was a Trinitarian and changed.
Yes.
As God was leading this movement, God brought a people together. You know, we brought the Sabbath back. We brought this. He got us back into being non-Trinitarians. This was the movement, our foundation. The foundation, the first 50 years that this is what we were built on. And I started thinking, you know, and I've read Ellen White, and I don't remember where I read it. You know, it's this foundational pillar that's never to change. This is the truth that is to carry on forever. And
amen.
And I couldn't understand why it would change. Why did we change that?
So you were looking at the history starting in 2015, but you were also working at Remnant Publications.
Now we have Mike Casey with us. Mike, we want to hear some more stories, some personal testimonies of how this literature is really touching people's lives.
Do I have 3 hours?
Well, you have 3 minutes.
Well, there are a lot of stories. And one of the projects that Dwight didn't mention is Hope for the Hurting. And what this is Steps to Christ, but it has a title of Hope for the Hurting. It's a full-color edition, and it's wonderful, doing a tremendous work. And we have been sending these out everywhere. In fact, in Las Vegas, after that shooting there, over 600,000 went out to every home there.
What was it like to work there and also start believing something different than the general conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church?
It was frustrating.
Really?
It was frustrating. It was almost like an anguish inside of me, and that grew. At first, I was still learning it, but then as I learned it, I realized that there's two things that go on. One thing I kept that was going on, I should say. One thing I had to do is keep telling myself that there's still good work being done, and Remnant is doing a wonderful work. They're reaching a lot of people. They're going into the cities and getting a lot of work out.
The Great Controversy going out.
Oh,
praise the Lord!
It's
not the Great Hope.
Oh, it's, that's why I was with Remnant Publications,
sure.
Because they stood and are still stand for the most part the straight truth.
Yeah.
They're on that platform, the conservative platform, and you have the other camp. You have the Great Hope and all this contemporary movement going within the corporate SDA church. So that's why there is no other publisher I would stand with except for Remnant Publications. Mm-hmm. And they're as much of a ministry as they are. And there's a lot of other good ministries too that are conservative. But that's why I was with them. And But I had to keep telling myself that they are doing a good work to keep me going. Mm-hmm. But still, it didn't change inside because I knew that the work that was being done and all those books that are going out was just leading them back into the corporate SDA church, which was teaching error at the same time. It's about God. Yeah. They're bringing them in. So you have this truth of Ellen White and, who are, you know, and beautiful words from the prophet, but at the same time, those words are being twisted to mean something else. Mm-hmm. And that bothered me, and it continued to bother me. So I had to keep reminding myself that, you know, you're doing a good work here, you're doing a good work, but still you can't get away from the frustration. And plus being silenced, that's the biggest thing.
So yeah, you were silent. You had to be silenced because we know a little bit later you'll explain perhaps what happened when you were not as silent, but was it hard? Was it difficult to keep your convictions in while you're working full time for a ministry that you knew pretty well didn't believe the same way you did about God?
It was definitely difficult. And I did slip every once in a while, like, oops, okay, I better be careful here. Because, you know, I knew that if I wasn't silent, the inevitable. We all know that to believe as we do, you're most likely going to get disfellowshipped, you know. And plus, I was a front man, so to speak, for Remnant Publications. My actual title was National Sales Manager, but I was the PR guy too. Aside from Dwight Hall is definitely the figure, but he can't be on the road all the time. Mm-hmm. So I would work with the different ministries and so on. So having a face out there representing you that's a non-Trinitarian just doesn't go well, yeah. You know, so I had to kind of keep it. It was tough too. And because you'd be surprised how often people would come up to me and have questions that I would love to answer with the truth. And they're asking you a question and I can't pull one up at the moment. And you know what they want you to say. They have a question on maybe, you know, something on the Trinity or something. And you can't give them the truth because you know.
So you would misrepresent the ministry you're working with.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So there was many struggles that I continued to go through. But deep down inside, I knew that the time was coming when those struggles would come to an end. I knew that in my heart, the time was going to come when I would step out from that and stand on the truth and not be afraid.
Well, just this last weekend, you were given the opportunity to step out and not be afraid to be able to speak, and you're not having to hide your convictions anymore. What does that feel like?
Oh, it's exhilarating. It's like such a weight lifted, you know. I mean, it is, you know, I look back on it, you know, everything has its timing. I look back on it, I wish I would have just stood up for the truth a long time ago. Mm. I had a chance to, I was confronted by the president of the Michigan Conference and asked my faith, you know, it's a long story of an event that was going on in Michigan and that I was linked to, and asked what I believed. I told him, I believe in the one true God of the Bible and in his only begotten Son, not created, but begotten Son. And that's all I had to say, you know.
But that conversation had lasted about an hour.
It was about 45 minutes, I want to say. Okay. Yeah, maybe it could have been longer. You know, I was nervous at first. Yeah. I was nervous because it took a little while to build to where he asked what I believed. And I was nervous because I was there at an event representing Remnant Publications. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, now what do I do, you know? And then
he asked you some pointed questions, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Mostly what I believed on the Father, you know, in the Son was the first thing. And as soon as I answered that, then I relaxed. It's like I just stood up for my God. I did not deny him. And I didn't even hesitate. As nervous as I was, I didn't even hesitate to say, hey, I believe in the one true God of the Bible, and I believe in his only begotten Son. And then he brought up the Holy Spirit, and I says, I believe the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, like Ellen White says numerous times. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful because we have Christ through his Spiit, and it's a beautiful thing. And then I left it at that, because then he went off on these tangents and And I didn't want to argue with him. I have a lot of respect for him. He is the president of the conference, and he had some materials he forwarded to me to study out, and I left it at that, and we prayed, and he is a good man.
But he didn't leave it at that.
No, I don't know. I don't know where it went from there, but I do know that the next morning, the pastor that he wasn't the pastor when I was going to the local church here in Michigan, where my membership is. Mm-hmm. And I haven't gone there for a year and a half or so. But he approached me, and he got wind of things, how I don't know. And it could have been from some of the other pastors or what have you, or it could have been from the president of the conference, I don't know. First of all, he approached me and says, "Hey, you know, I'm not one of those pastors. I'd just like to know what you think, what you believe." And I go, well, sure. So then I knew what it was about. And I was all relaxed at that point. I already knew, you know, the gig was up, so to speak. And so I go, "I believe in the one true God of the Bible and his only begotten Son." And his literal only begotten, and that's all I had to say there. Mm-hmm. And he went on and to say, "Oh, but we're a movement. We're moving on. And I go, "Okay, moving from what?" And he went on, and there's a little bit of a language barrier there, and I'm not sure I got all of what he was saying. And he says, "Well," he says, "I'm going to have to move forward with this fellowship proceedings. I need to take it to the board."
Wow.
And I go, "Well, let me get this straight. So you're going to disfellowship me because I believe as the Adventist pioneers did in 1863. Mm-hmm. And I says, in 1863, our fundamental beliefs, or actually there were principles then, I would be an upstanding Seventh-day Adventist, mm-hmm. you know, then. And today, though, if any of those Adventists wanted to join our church today, we wouldn't let them." Mm-hmm. I says, "Think about that. Think about that. That, you know, isn't that troubling?
There's a disconnect there.
There's a disconnect there. Thank you." And he says, "No, but we're a movement. We're moving." And I'm thinking to myself, moving to what? I didn't get anything what he was saying.
Frankly, having been a pastor right here in this conference, Michigan, as you're referring to, years ago, I know, unfortunately, that the Adventist Church is moving, progressing into an ecumenical gathering with the other churches, with the Trinity as the head God, if you will, that's joining all those churches together, which is really unfortunate. Yeah. I used to preach about this against it for years. No ecumenical movements, nothing, nothing. But I didn't know I was actually part of it because of the Trinity doctrine. Mm. So that's probably what he's thinking too.
That could be.
As he thinks we're progressing away from the old paths into the new progressive ways of thinking and understanding. But frankly, that's not what the Bible teaches, is it?
No, not at all. No. Not at all.
So now you have been disfellowshipped, or at least you're on the path, it sounds like, for being disfellowshipped. Yeah. Some people are calling it dismembered. But also you have been, your job has been taken away from you. Just earlier today, I went up to your wife and I said, "Dear sister, what are you going through, having your husband just lost his job?" She looked at me and she said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the
Amen.
Lord. And I said, "Amen." Yeah. That's awesome. She said it with a big smile.
That's what she said when I came home that day.
Really?
Yeah. That's what she said. She is like I am. We will stand. We will not deny our God.
Amen.
We will not. We will stand for the God of the Bible and his only begotten Son.
Amen.
And I'm not going to let anything come between that.
That's wonderful. What nice support to be for each other.
Oh, yes. I'm very fortunate.
I know there are a lot of people in this movement that don't have that support.
Yeah.
They have maybe a believing woman and an unbelieving husband, or even a non-Christian husband, and vice versa. It's really difficult for some. It's really nice that you have that experience, though,
I'm quite blessed.
Where, you know, our family is going together.
We're fortunate. Yeah.
So now, tell me, what happened with your experience of being terminated after you spoke with the pastor and the president here in Michigan?
Well, after I spoke with the pastor, I realized I was going to be disfellowshipped. In a way, that was a relief.
Huh.
I was going, because now I can be vocal. No, there was nothing to hold me back from being vocal from people I've gone to church with. I could start spreading the truth.
Yeah.
And so I'm driving back, I'm getting excited now. I'm going, you know, I'm thinking, oh, wow, I'm free now. You know?
That's terrible.
And everybody, because I've heard a lot of people say they, you know, don't want to be disfellowshipped. Oh, man, it's glorious. You know, you think about it. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but it's like, I'm going, hallelujah, God, now I get to go to work for you, you know? And so I was kind of, I was getting excited. I was just going, wow, there was nothing holding me back there. Mm-hmm. And then it was, I already, in the back of my mind, I knew that it was by that time, the president, the pastor, they're all getting a hold of Dwight. You know, I'm driving back. I got hours drive because this was up in northern Michigan at a place called Camp Asabo, which is an Adventist camp up north. And I was driving down to Coldwater, which is a 3.5 hour drive, something like that. Mm-hmm. And in bad weather, so even longer. Yeah. So I'm driving back and I go, you know what, I better text Dwight Hall, you know, Remnant, and say, hey, the gig's up, you know, they're on to me. Because Dwight is actually, for the last few months, because it's been coming forward, you know, he's been fairly considerate and respectful and trying, you know, to, you know, he didn't really want to have to get rid of me over my faith, but at the same time, he runs a business, you know, so I go, well, you know, out of courtesy, I texted him and said, hey, gig's up, you know, and he says, yeah, we got to talk, and I knew he knew. So I get there and I go in, you know, and sit down in the office, and him and his brother's there, and it's the same thing came up again, and I told him, hey, you know, I can't deny, you know, I can't deny my God. Mm-hmm. I says, I believe in the one true God and his only begotten Son. And there might have been a little of the conversation. He says, I got to let you go. And I was just grinning. Mm-hmm. I was just happy, you know, and I wasn't even nervous. It didn't even bother me. I was just elated. I was like, oh, it's over. I get to go to work, wow, you know, for my God. And it just felt wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I remember driving after I left, you know, and driving back home, the joy inside, I was so excited. I go, what's next? Now I get to tell the world. I get to get out. I'm thinking to myself, they unleashed a lion, yeah, because, man, I just cannot wait to go out and spread the gospel. And it's like, first thing I did was get on Facebook and start spreading One True God stuff.
I saw that.
Yeah. I was like, I can't wait. Oh, I got to tell the world, you know, and I'll tell you, you know, if there's anybody out there being held back either in a ministry or in their churches, trust me, when you finally make your stand with God and you say, hey, I'm not going to deny my God, it's a most incredible feeling in the world to say, hey, this is my God. God, you are number one in my life. Amen. And wherever the chips fall, so to speak, let them fall. And I'll tell you, God will have your back.
Amen. Amen. I believe that. That's very similar to the experience I had when I was released from working at Secrets Unsealed. I was elated. I felt a weight had been off my shoulders. I didn't want to tell my wife. That was a very difficult thing for me.
Oh,
I did, and she wasn't very happy, but I felt a release, and I was ever since I've been very grateful to be able to work full-time with spreading the message of what I think is the most important. This is life eternal, that Amen. They might know thee, the only true God, Amen. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So now, what are you going to be doing with Pioneer Health and Missions?
Well, I'm going to be doing a lot of similar things that I did with Remnant Publications, except for now I'm going to be leading them through the publishing and other things. I'm going to lead them to missions near them, where they could learn the truth about God, not into the corporate church where they're going to learn about the Trinity. Mm. So still get wonderful Ellen White materials out there. And
so now, wait a minute. I know somebody's going to hear this, what you just said. They're calling people out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but I would like to clarify. Not really. We feel as though in the history of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the church has gone astray from God, and we're calling people back to the original Seventh-day Adventist movement.
Very true.
So what you're doing is you're actually calling people back into real Seventh-day Adventism.
100%.
Okay.
100%. And that's really what it is. Mm-hmm. The reason why I liked Remnant Publications and went with Remnant Publications is because of their conservative stance. Mm-hmm. People knew or know where Remnant stands. They're not afraid of the straight truth. And for the most part, they're there. You know, there's a lot of things that I wouldn't recommend people to read out of Remnant Publications, but for the most part, they're known for the straight truth and standing on that, not being afraid to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's important because you look at the corporate SDA church, it's, see what's, actually I think the best way to describe it There's those that believe you're saved in sin and those that believe you're saved from sin. Mm-hmm. Okay, I believe Remnant Publications does believe that you are saved from sin. And that's really, that's a very important thing in my book. Mm-hmm. Where with the corporate church, and you, like you mentioned the Great Hope earlier, the other thinking is, oh, it doesn't matter how you live your life, you know, you're saved.
Yeah.
And so coming into the non-Trinitarian movement, actually, it was heartbreaking because I saw the same thing. Mm. You know, after being in a few months into the movement, I saw the same thing was going on in our movement. There's those that believe you're saved in sin and those that believe that you're saved from sin. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, Pioneer Health and Missions believes you are saved from sin.
Amen.
And what's beautiful about that is with the understanding of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you realize you really can do all things through Christ because you have Him present through His Spirit, mm-hmm. and you really can overcome. It's a beautiful thing. And when you look back at, when you read Revelation 3:8, I believe it is, and it talks about the Church of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. that's where I see us going back to. Now, the early Adventist Church was the Church of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Church of Philadelphia is a church that that are doers of the Word and are also do not deny their Father, do not deny God. And that's where I see Pioneer Health and Missions.
We're bringing back that spirit, that faith, that dedication that the Philadelphian church had yes. in the Laodicean context.
Exactly.
There you go. Okay. Because there's no eighth church.
There is no eighth church.
We're Laodicea, but there's a revival of that primitive godliness that we saw in the last 50 years, if you look up that phrase in Ellen White's writing.
And both churches go to the end. Yeah. It's like, where are you going to stand? Mm-hmm. I choose to stand with Philadelphia. I don't want to be part of Laodicea.
Yeah.
And so that's why I chose to go with Pioneer Health and Missions.
Nice. So what are some of your goals, having just lost your job at Remnant Publications? Your wife is on board with you. You are now able to work full time. Like, what is the big picture of your life now? Have you been able to think that through in the last few hours?
Everything is happening quick. It's like I just can't wait to tell the world, mm-hmm. basically. And this is one great start. I want to tell the world the truth about the Father and the Son.
Yes.
You know, and that's really, and it's where God leads me. And that's really what it is, because I'm truly working for God now, and I'm in His service. And I want everyone to know that we truly can overcome through Christ our Savior. Mm-hmm. And that is really, we need to finish this work and go home. We truly do. We need to make a stand. If you're just going to church and sitting in a pew and going through the motions because you're afraid of getting disfellowshipped, or if you're working in a ministry and you're afraid of losing your job and so you're just going along with it, stop. Just make a stand. Make a stand on the truth. Make a stand on God. And if I can encourage others to do the same thing, I'll tell you, it's beautiful. Time is short. We have very little time to warn the world, mm-hmm. and we need to come out of Laodicea. We need to stand on the pillars of our faith. We need to go back to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So I'm still Seventh-day Adventist.
Yes.
I have not left. Like I said, in 1863, I would be an upstanding Seventh-day Adventist. I'm going back. I'm not accepting where the church has went, the history that it led into.
Yes.
And I wish people would study the history, because that's what really did it for me. If you study and realize how the Trinity came into the church and the players that were involved, you might realize that, wow, maybe the wool's been pulled over your eyes, mm-hmm. you know, and take a moment and look around.
I remember saying many times, having been a pastor since the year 2000, I've said, I am now, having understood the original faith of the Seventh-day Adventist movement, I am now more a Seventh-day Adventist than I've ever been in my
Amen.
Life. And I'm sure you feel the same.
Oh, I do. I mean, it's a true something. You know, it's that first 50 years. It's like, you know, God said it. I believe it. And I love Ellen White. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people disregard Ellen White. And and maybe it does make life difficult when you study the prophet, because you realize there's a lot in my life that's got to go, and I'm not afraid to do that. I'm really to give anything for Christ, and I'm willing to stand on Christ on that foundation of not denying my God and doing all I can to glorify Him. Step out and make that stand, and I'll tell you, it's rewarding in so many ways.
Amen. So you've seen a testimony of a man who has recently come to an understanding since 2015
yes.
of the faith of God. The commandments of God and the faith of Jesus is what I believe you want to Amen. Uphold in your life.
Oh, yes.
And he's excited. You can see that the Lord is taking care of him. The Lord is taking care of people all the way around the world. And we're encouraging you to continue to study the Bible, continue to study the writings of Ellen White, and accept the Bible as it reads, that God has a son, and to believe in him and his son is everlasting life. Amen. Thank you so much, brother.
Oh, God thank you. God bless you, my friend.
Will you take a stand with Mike? Contact Pioneer Health and Missions for fellowship near you or information on becoming a mission. Your financial support helps to spread the truth about God and his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16.